This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
It's my pleasure to welcome one of our clients to the show. We'll talk a little bit about a case study. We'll talk about what got her interested in real estate investing. And she is also quite a leader in her career and her field. And she mentors other women who want to become executives and so forth. Just is a great person. Elizabeth, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. I know we've been talking about having you come on the podcast for probably a little over a year now, so you're finally with us.
I think it might even be longer than that.
Oh, really? Maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
maybe more even. You know, we've spent so much time together over the years, and you and your husband, Neil, were the very first Venture Alliance members in my Venture Alliance Mastermind group. And both of you are such community builders. It's really just great to have you. Now, just to give the audience a little background, maybe talk about, you know, your career as an executive. You've managed hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands, I'm not sure. And then what got you interested in real estate investing? And, you know, kind of give us a little background.
I was most recently at T-Mobile, where I ran a very large organization running their software technology program management group. Before that, I've been at companies like Expedia and Amazon, and of course, the ill-fated Washington Mutual and IBM. So I've been focusing mostly on technology for 20 plus years. But I've always been a leader in a variety of different types of areas. So finance, healthcare when I was at IBM. So I've had an opportunity to hit a lot of different industries, but I've always focused on program management and business operations management. So getting large-scale activities organized to deliver big-scale things that impact the company's bottom line is kind of my specialty.
Did you mention Amazon.com in there? You worked at Amazon as well, right?
That's correct, yeah. So I was at Amazon for 4 years. I was at IBM for 4 years. I was at Expedia for almost 4 years. There's kind of a trend, a pattern to this. But I've been in pretty much all of the major IT shops in the Pacific Northwest except for Microsoft, and my husband Neil is at Microsoft.
Yeah. So, and you're based in Seattle, of course. And Elizabeth, I got to share with the audience, one of the things I just absolutely, you know, there are some things you just remember forever. And I remember when we were heading over on a Venture Alliance trip to Martha's Vineyard, maybe that was about a year and a half ago almost now, or I don't know, I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, a year and a half, I think.
I saw you and Neil in the airport leaving Boston to go to Martha's Vineyard. And you talked about how T-Mobile had just hired you an executive assistant. And you said, Jason, and you were telling me something about my business, because I was saying I was so frazzled and I couldn't keep track of anything. And he said, Jason, I have an executive assistant now, and she's doing something great for me. She's teaching me how to be an executive. And I thought that was a great quote. I just love that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, a good admin assistant or executive assistant really does make all the difference in your world from a sanity and an organization perspective. That's absolutely for sure.
I believe it. So what got you interested in real estate investing? I mean, you and Neil have had some very big, very successful corporate careers. Why real estate?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, like almost everybody that answers this question, they probably all say, well, I read the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, the Kiyosaki book. It is one of those books that Neil and I read early before we had actually met each other. And that's always been one of those things where we were thinking about, huh, real estate is important. And real estate is one of those things that we need to get into eventually if we're going to really grow our foundation and grow wealth. And then reading The Millionaire Next Door, it just really, you know, solidified the concept that we've really got to expand our financial horizons by getting our money working for us. Making a large salary is awesome while you're making the large salary. But if you're going to be in a technology organization or you're going to be in a corporate environment for your whole life, eventually that's going to run out. You need to stop working for your money and have your money start working for you. And that's when Neil and I, probably about 6 years ago, really got serious about how we are going to do that, how we're going to take all of this great salary and bonus in stock and get it working for us. And that's when we started listening to a bunch of different podcasts. And of course, yours was one of our favorites. And then we went to your Meet the Masters. Neil went to your Meet the Masters, gosh, I think 5 years ago. And that's when we really started getting serious. So that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. In what markets do you own properties now?
Indiana is where we started, and then we moved to Memphis and Little Rock. We've also got properties in St. Roberts and in Kansas City, and we just are closing with Justin up in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. How's the real estate experience been with investing? I mean, would you say there are definitely some highs and lows? You know, like people get into this and they think it's like the infomercial. They think, oh yeah, no, it's all just great. I love those testimonials they have. I don't know how they get them. Oh yeah, well, I made, you know, $30 million in my first year with so-and-so.
With $5 in, right?
Yeah, I started with $5 and made $30 million. Yeah.
Well, we've definitely had some in technology projects. You always talk about your lessons learned. Mm-hmm. We've definitely had some lessons learned along the way. So I would say one of the really great things that happened for us is we actually started investing right after the bounce from the last downturn. As the market was starting to come up, that's when we really started to invest. And so we were lucky enough to experience a lot of that lift that came. Even though these are linear markets, there's mm-hmm. still a certain amount of equity lift that we, and appreciation that we got with the market shifting. You know, some of the markets have been ideal. Some of the markets are starting to turn a little bit. And then some of the markets are just, they're not hitting it completely, you know, out of the ballpark, but they're just chugging along and doing really, really well. And I would say the biggest item that for me makes or breaks a market, it's not even the market's performance, it's the property management.
Yeah, it's the team. Yeah, no,
it's the team. Yeah. It's the relationships in the team. And a good property manager, I mean, everybody that you interview, I'm sure, says this, a good property manager is worth their weight in gold.
Yeah.
And it's challenging to find people that are consistent. And one of the things that I noticed is a lot of the property managers that you start working with that are really, really good, they hit a saturation point and they don't have an ability to scale. Mm-hmm. Pace and scale are the two biggest threats to your market performance because their ability to actually handle it.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are going through software changes, which is helping. But, you know, the communication.
I want to make sure your audience caught that word. You said software changes. In other words, they're upgrading their management software, their property management software, and that can be chaotic during those changes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is that they're really looking for efficiencies and economy of scale, mm-hmm. and they're trying to handle the rapid change of pace. They're going from, let's say, 400 properties that they're managing to 600 properties because demand is high or, you know, whatever. They're going from 1 to 1X, right? They're going through their changes. And as they go through their changes of getting more and more people that they're supporting because they're successful, all of a sudden they hit a saturation point and either a critical person leaves or what makes them good at 300 properties doesn't make them good at 600 properties, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so that diligence, you know, that you always talk about, I don't believe you have to micromanage your property managers, but you do have to be in constant communication on at least a monthly, not constant, but you have to be in communication on a monthly basis. And you need to really be part of the actual flow of the processes associated with your property. You can't let them take the keys.
Right.
You've got to be engaged in the process along the way.
Yeah. And I agree with that. A couple comments on what you said is number one, you know, I'd rather have an A team and a B market versus a market and a B team any day of the week because the team is, it's just more important than the market. So if you're just reading market statistics and thinking, oh, well, this must be the holy grail of places to invest, be careful because it's not just about the place, it's about the team even more so than the place. But, you know, place is certainly important. There's no question about that. The other thing you talked about, ability to scale and, you know, their ability to adapt to growth. And, you know, one of the problem that's frankly we create that problem for them to some extent. And it's not just a problem of the actual mechanics of scale and understanding how to run really a different type of business as their businesses grow. And, you know, we have to think about their businesses, which is interesting. Now, you know, as a client, you don't really have to think about that, although, Elizabeth, you are because you're a management person and because we're doing this podcast. But as a traditional client, you don't have to think about that. But we do have to think about that. And another component of it that you didn't mention is it's not just the issue of the mechanics of scale, of adjusting their business and the way they run their business and the way they run their staff and that kind of stuff and their software, but it's also the mental component. And a lot of that comes down to complacency and gratitude or the lack of gratitude, right?
Right.
You know, Napoleon famously said, the most dangerous moment comes with victory. And that is just a part of all of our natures. It's just a part of human nature. When that property manager and that local market specialist gets a ton of business, what do? Well, they get comfortable. They take it for granted. The money's flowing in. They're thinking, well, I'm done. You know, if they're a right. small thinker, you know, they're just thinking, hey, I don't need any more. I got it made. So now I'm just going to become complacent. And it's obviously not a good attitude, and it's not a good type of person that we want to work with. And so this is a dynamic thing. It's changing all the time.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. If they ever are not starting the conversation mentally by saying, what am I going to do to earn this person's business today?
Right.
And you can tell with their communication with you, right?
Right.
Are they trying to earn my business, or are they just saying, here's a form, you needed to have filled it out. You know, we didn't do this obvious thing because you didn't do this, you know, fill out this form or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If they're not trying to earn your business every day, then they become complacent. When they become complacent, that's when you need to really, you know, and this is where I go back to Sarah and say, hey, Sarah, who do you know in XYZ market? Because I need to start looking for a new property management team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and that's true of all of us in every part of human life. We've got to keep earning it all the time. You never reach this place where you get to stop. It's just part of life.
Yeah. I don't get this whole, you know, rest thing. It just never happens, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, no, it doesn't. Well, good. You know, let's talk a little bit about Masters, our upcoming Meet the Masters program. This is our annual event. And Elizabeth, you've been to so many of those and you know how to train people. You know how to present. You're a good public speaker. And one of the funny things you said to me, which is so true and so accurate, I did not take this as an insult at all. You know, another person might have, because I know you're right. And you said, Jason, before our next Meet the Masters, and I love how you just kind of take ownership. You say ours, you know, that's great. You said, I'm going to come the day before. I'm going to train all of your local market specialists on how to present. I'm going to give them presentation training.
It's just such a pet peeve. But the thing is, they have such great content.
Yeah.
I feel that they can lose their audience sometimes with their presentation skills. Yeah. And, you know, having presented to hundreds of people, I know that there's just some basic mechanics and some basic concepts that these guys need to be, you know, need to have. In order to make sure that they're getting all their rich content out to their group.
Well, you inspired me to make some real changes for this upcoming Meet the Masters event, where we're going to do interview formats and we're going to do panel discussions and things like that that we really haven't done in terms of the local market specialist before. And I think it'll allow the audience to get much more targeted information, the information that they want, because they're going to be participating in the process with more Q&A. And also, it's going to allow them to get a lot more information about a market, especially when we have multiple local market specialists in one market. You know, this will be the first year that we're experimenting with the format and really doing it a little differently. It will end the problem completely of getting a not so great presenter who may, by the way, have the very best deals and the best market, you know,
right,
and the best team, but just not really know how to communicate it very well. Because again, these aren't professional speakers. That's not what they do.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that idea of that fireside chat or that interview style, that town hall type forum, because I think that it allows, as you were saying, it allows the audience to get their questions answered and for them to, you know, they're empowered to participate. And honestly, I think for the folks that get nervous when they're speaking, this will help de-escalate all of that nervous energy right. too. Mm-hmm. Because when you're engaging in that format, you know, you're focused on making sure that you're answering people's questions and you're really focusing on giving the best possible answer. And then you forget about yourself altogether. And so I think that's going to be a huge win for both the presenters and for the audience too. So I love that idea.
Yeah. You know, when I was starting to do some real public speaking back in the old days, when I was just a realtor with RE/MAX many years ago, one of the big things that I really learned is that you don't get nervous and you don't have any problem adding value and making sure your audience gets a lot of value if you focus out. You have to focus right. outwardly on the audience.
Right.
That's the key. And it's interesting, right after I joined Tony Robbins' mastery program, Mastery University, you did it. You and Neil did it right
yeah.
after me. And we went to that first Tony Robbins seminar in Los Angeles together. Well, you and I, well, we didn't really go together, but I saw you there and we hung out and had dinner and stuff. You know, one of the things that was interesting he said, all suffering comes when you focus on yourself.
Right.
Like, you know, it's either the suffering that says, well, why is this happening to me? It's not fair. The world isn't fair. Why is this happening to me? Or is this sort of a selfish suffering in a different way? Well, why didn't I get enough? You know, why didn't I get the better end of the deal? You
right.
know, all of that stuff, it just doesn't work, does it?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the challenges that these folks have is they're so busy trying to tell you everything that they know
right, yeah.
rather than everything that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can really change that focus to what is the audience really caring about rather than what do I want to tell them, mm-hmm. it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So look for some different presentation formats at this year's Meet the Masters. I think everybody's going to like that. And Elizabeth, thank you for inspiring it.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. Yeah.
Good.
We're really looking forward to coming to Meet the Masters. It's something that, you know, Neil has gone to more of these than I have. Neil, my husband, has gone to more of them than I have. But every night when he would go by himself, he would be like giving me a recap. Okay, these are the things that we talked about. These are the people that I met. I'm super excited about this, that, or the other thing. And in the last couple of years, we've gone together. And I just feel like, one, it's kind of a friendship, kind of like a club, if you will, of people that I see time and time again. And maybe I only see them once or twice a year, but we're all speaking the same language. And one of the things that I absolutely need as a real estate investor who's also got that day job as a corporate person or day job as a technology worker or whatever is I need those people that have the real estate investing as a common ground. Because otherwise it gets really lonely when you're out there by yourself
right.
and you start to doubt, you know, your strategy. You start to, you know, because you're, you
well,
know,
as soon as you have the first problem, you get discouraged because you don't get to talk to someone else and find out, hey, they had the same problem. They overcame it. And they're just a
yeah.
regular person like I am. Right.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, like, I really pride myself on the quality of the products that I buy, you know, the types of houses that I buy in the neighborhoods that I buy in. You know, I'm really proud of these really nice houses that we have. And the first thing my sister said to me was, oh, are you a slumlord now? And I thought, what the heck? Because she has no context, right? It's
right.
all foreign to her. And so the only thing that she thinks of, oh God, the only thing that she thinks of is like the Trump, you know, the mm-hmm. Trump concept, or, you know, the nefarious bad guy that's trying to take advantage of people. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. And so having those people that have got that like mind and that are like educated, it just, you know, it really fills the wind in your sails, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does. Good stuff. Anything else about Masters? I mean, you've really enjoyed the networking. And I know you've mentioned before, you want to make sure there's good networking time and things like that. But just anything else you want to share there?
No, I mean, I'm just really looking forward to it. It's coming up in a couple of weeks and it'll be great.
Won't even be a couple of weeks by the time this airs. So
oh, that's right. That's
it'll
right.
be sooner than
Thank
that. You were the first person to join the Venture Alliance, you
yeah.
and Neil. You know, you've been on every Venture Alliance trip now. We've been to Dubai together and, you know, many other places, Newport, Rhode Island, the exotic San Diego. We've been to Seattle. You hosted us once in your town.
Yeah, that was awesome. I had so much fun with that one too.
We were in Phoenix just recently and several other places. And we're going to be in my new town in March, which is Las Vegas, Nevada, of course. You know, what do you think about all that? Why did that appeal to you? It was sort of surprising to me, honestly. And I just have to be very honest with everybody about this. You know, you joined and you sent me $10,000. And I thought, wow, this, you know, I just mentioned it. You guys were
yeah.
in. right away. What do you think about it?
You know, as I mentioned, one of the things that I feel like I need, you know, in my investment world way out here in Seattle is I need other people that are like-minded that I can have conversations with and I can have relationships with. And so when things go bad or, you know, hey, I've got an idea, what do you think? I've got a group of people that I can reach out to. My group in the past had been really informal. And so when you had your Venture Alliance Mastermind idea starting to come out, Neil and I were like, we love Jason. You know, we love Meet the Masters. We love the people that we're interacting with. You know, let's do this. Because one thing that, you know, again, we talked about this with Tony Robbins, right? But why learn the lessons for yourself the hard way when you can leverage other people and get all of those lessons for free, or at least the shortcut, right? So having a mentor, having a coach, or belonging with a group of like-minded people that elevate you to the next level is critical for your growth.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And so that's like that Jim Rohn quote, right? The five people. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like the quality of the people that I interact with in the Venture Alliance group. And keep in mind, some people just come for a meeting, or some people come and then they can't make it for a couple of meetings because they've got child responsibilities or other obligations. But the thing that's really amazing is the quality of the group is consistently high. Mm-hmm. And these are true leaders in their industry. And there's a variety of industries, people from the military, people from finance, people from technology. There's just a wide variety of people. But yet we're all thinking on the same lines. We're all thinking about, how do we grow ourselves? How do we work together? How can we leverage what you know and what I know so that we can do something even better? It's really neat being around that group of people. And I'll tell you, you know, I made a transition out of T-Mobile a couple of months ago, and I actually reached out to two of the members and I said, hey, I'm going through a change. I'd like to just bounce some ideas off of you. And both of those people gave me like over an hour of their time.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
And you gave me over an hour of your time. And the fact that people are willing to do that, I mean, what a great gift, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do pay for it, but how else are you going to get there? You're not going to do this on your own. You're not going to be able to make that growth just reading books by yourself or talking to your neighbor or maybe your cube mate, you know, in the corporate office. If you're going to grow, you have to be purposeful. And what a better way than to work with people that are already building their own horizon in the next areas.
You know, my mom went to the Jekyll Island. That's another place we went, is to Jekyll Island, the birthplace of the Federal Reserve. When she was at the Jekyll Island Mastermind, one of the comments she made afterwards, and it was based on some of the comments that you and Neil made and some of the other members made, she says, Jason, you know, your group is so interesting. They're just always learning. They're always going to conferences. They're, you know, doing this, they're doing that. And she thought, wow, this is just a really stimulating group based on the discussion we had. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think maybe a metaphor is like this. I remember someone saying, strangers are just friends you haven't met yet. And that's not exactly my metaphor here, but just follow me for a moment. For example, in life, we don't get to choose our family. And some people think, oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, and I understand what you mean by that, okay? And we don't get to choose our family. We do get to choose our friends, right? But the vast majority of humanity, and certainly all of us to one degree or another, our friends sort of choose us. You know, it's kind of what's convenient, who's proximate, who's around us, who do we just happen to run into, you know, our neighbors, our colleague at work, you know, hey, you want to go out and have a drink, grab a meal together or whatever. That's usually the way friendship happens. And I'm not saying that's all bad or all wrong, but I'm saying, like you said, you have to be intentional. You have to be purposeful. If you want to do bigger things in life, the mastermind group is like this shortcut. It's the way to get there faster. It's a way to choose to have your friends sort of, I hate to say this, but pre-qualified. And that's one of the reasons it's expensive. And hey, listen, Venture Alliance is cheap compared to other mastermind groups, okay? But it's not free either, right? And you know, if someone's got to pay, if they got to write a check for five figures to join this group, right? They're going to be someone who's serious. They come bringing a different part of themselves to the experience. granted, they have those regular friends I just talked about, but when they come to the mastermind group, they bring a new you, a new them to the group because they know, look, I paid for this meeting. I'm being intentional here. I want to have a good time. I want to have some great new experiences. I want to meet some new friends, but I also want to get some value and I want to deliver some value to this group because it's a high level group, right?
Yeah. And the quality of the people that have been coming as presenters too has just, I mean, that's worth its weight in admission alone, quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the people that were speaking at your last one in Arizona, my gosh, those people are world caliber speakers, they're world caliber business leaders. And I get to interact with them. I got the chance to go to lunch with them and chit chat and learn about them and talk about their dog or whatever.
Right.
So I now have a relationship. I now have access to people, you know, not exclusively, right? But I have access to people that have educated me and that can bring my business thinking up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And proximity is power.
Proximity is power. I love that. And, you know, I almost want to make a distinction with that. It's not just proximity, but it's like, I think there's a certain level of even more power in what I'm going to call, for lack of a better way to say it, casual proximity. And
yes.
Neil said to me this at lunch at the Phoenix event when Ken McElroy was sitting across the table from him. And, you know, Ken McElroy's done huge things in real estate. He's authored a few of the Rich Dad books with Robert Kiyosaki. And he's just been an incredible success. And, you know, of course, you invited me to his event last year. I remember that was fantastic. Neil says to me right here, I said, well, hey, got plans for us to do another activity next. And he says, Jason, this is the activity. You know, he's like, this is the highest value you can provide right here, right now.
Yeah.
You know, of everybody just having this casual conversation over a drink with Ken McElroy, you know, just a very casual lunch, right?
It's funny because Neil and I approach things in a very different way, but we think alike, you know, like we have the same objectives or goals in mind. And I'm very lucky. He's an amazing guy. But the fact that, you know, he expressed that, I knew that that's exactly right. It's such an amazing opportunity to get that conversation, to be able to have it. As you were saying, it's not just in a formal setting, it's in a casual setting. Mm-hmm. It makes it so much richer.
Yeah, the casual proximity is so much richer. And then with the other Venture Alliance members, you know, just the experience being kind of the stock and trade of friendship, as I always like to say, it really does form bonds and it's just great. It's like, this is, you know, who you do life with, which is a very powerful thing. Well, what are your plans in real estate? And, you know, what do you see coming down the horizon?
We are just continuing to acquire more. We're wrapping up our Grand Rapids purchase. We're buying a little bit more in Little Rock. We're talking to the Quad Cities folks. I actually had a meeting with them today that I'd forgotten about, so I've got to reschedule that. So we're just looking to continue to take advantage of the network that you have and the folks that you've got that are bringing opportunities to the table. And one of the things that we've done is we purchased a 7-unit here in Washington State. And so I'm having an opportunity to learn how to be a property manager directly. And so I'm, you know, I'm going through some challenges and some changes there. So it's a good growth opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I just think expansion, you know, we're continuing to expand. It's really cool.
Good stuff. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience. Of course, you'll be at the Meet the Masters event. Everybody can meet you there and at all the Venture Alliance trips as well. And really appreciate you sharing your experience with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, heartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.